The enemy of God and the power of hell trembles at the sight of the gift that is given to the people of God tonight. The enemy of God and the power of hell trembles before the sight of the great gifts that are entrusted to the human race tonight. The gift of the Holy Eucharist and the gift of the Holy Priesthood. From the very dawn of creation, from the fall of Adam and Eve, God the Father has been working, playing offense in the world to prepare the human race for the gift that he entrusts to her tonight. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, the Father has gone in search of his people, and he now has sent his Son to rescue her. And he begins and brings that rescue to completion tonight. The Eucharist is not just the greatest gift that has ever been given to the human race. The Eucharist is the greatest gift that ever could be given to the human race, because the Eucharist contains the very life and power of God himself. There is no gift that is more powerful. There is no gift that is more beautiful. There is no greater source of life, of freedom, or of joy than the gift that is given to creation tonight. The Navy SEALs pride themselves in being the tip of the spear in the war against America's enemies. And tonight, the tip of the spear in the war against hell gives himself to the human race. And he does not leave the human race orphaned as he enters into his passion and his death. He leaves the human race with shepherds to protect it, to lead it, to form it, and to heal it, not by their own power and authority, but by his very power and his authority. And so, brothers and sisters, we find ourselves celebrating Holy Thursday during the second year of a 3-year Eucharistic revival of the Church in the United States of America. Eucharistic revival. Perhaps you have heard this term before. If I can give you a little hot take from Father Luke, don't tell Archbishop Nauman. I'm not a huge fan of the term Eucharistic revival, because sometimes when we read studies that God's people have lost faith in the Eucharist, sometimes we can tend to think, oh no, the heart of Jesus is dying. It's suffering. It's broken open for the whole world to see. And it is. But sometimes when we hear this word Eucharistic revival, we might have the image that we need to do chest compressions on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because his heart is dying from a lack of faith. And nothing is further from the truth. The most important attribute of God that the devil is about to forget as Jesus enters into his suffering and his passion for us, the most important attribute of our God is not that he's nice, not that he's merciful, not even that he speaks the truth to us. The most important attribute of our God, by his very nature, he is inconquerable. He is undefeatable. And so the American church is celebrating a Eucharistic revival, not to revive the heart of the only heart in this world that is incapable of being revived, but to revive the hearts of the people who have forgotten this gift, who have looked past it, who do not live underneath its power. And so the Eucharistic revival is not for the Eucharist. The Eucharistic revival is for the church to whom the Eucharist was given and entrusted. And so Jesus desires to revive our faith, our lives. Jesus desires to revive our minds, our hearts, and our worship during this time of Eucharistic revival. The Son of God desires to revive the minds of his disciples and of his church. St. John in the gospel tonight that we just heard tells us that Jesus loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The narrative that is sold to God's children in 2024 is that they are alone, that no one is there for them, no one understands them except themselves. And so we see the people, the children of the United States of America, living in great fear and anxiety, walking out into a culture, posting all over the gram, trying to get liked, because our fundamental posture is that we are not seen, we are not loved, we are orphans. And so the pursuit of our life in America today is about becoming seen and becoming loved. And brothers and sisters, nothing is further from the truth if you understand the gift that is given to the church tonight. Tonight, Jesus gives the gift of his own heart, his own life, his own power and victory to you and I. And he gives this gift not just to his friends in the upper room. By the great gift of the priesthood, he offers this gift throughout the story of his bride. The bridegroom promises to remain faithfully present to his bride every moment of her journey through time. And so St. John understands the great gift of the Eucharist and the great gift of the priesthood. And he writes that Jesus loves his own in the world, which is you and I, and that the Son of God loves them until the end. The Son of God will be with us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, present among us in the Eucharist every moment of our life. He will never leave. He is incapable of forgetting you. He simply desires to gaze upon us, to love us, and to remind us again and again and again, you are not alone. Your life, your heart, your story, your struggle, it matters to me. And so I make myself totally and completely present to you. Do I live in the narrative that I am not seen and I am not loved? Do I live in the fear and anxiety and insecurity of an orphan? Or do I live in the humble confidence of a child of God? Because I acknowledge the great gift that was given to the church this night. A gift that proclaims throughout the centuries, I see you and I love you. Your heart, your life, and your story matters to me. We know when someone loves us when they show us their heart, when they expose vulnerably their heart in our presence. We know another person trusts us deeply when they're willing to offer us their heart. And all of hell trembles before the gift that has been entrusted to the human race tonight, the very heart of God himself. St. John goes on to tell us that Jesus at the Last Supper is fully aware that he has come from God, and he is fully aware that he is returning to God. This is something that Adam and Eve forgot. Adam and Eve and many of their descendants down on through the ages have forgotten who they are and from where they come. Adam forgot that he was not God. Adam chose to listen to the lie of the ancient serpent, the tempter, telling him that he could become just like God through a life of prideful disobedience, pushing God to the side, claiming himself the authority of moral truth, the one who can decide what he worships and when he worships. Adam sinned and fell because he forgot who he was and where he was going. The new Adam is incapable of forgetting who he is. And the new Adam is incapable of forgetting where he is going, because the heart of the new Adam deeply lives in communion with God the Father. And so when I receive Jesus tonight, I receive a heart that knows and that proclaims the truth that it is not orphaned, that it is not alone or overlooked or misunderstood. This heart lives not in isolation. This heart lives in communion. Do I need the Eucharist to revive my own mind, to remind me that I am not God? I didn't create myself. I'm not the source of the foundation of the world. I didn't speak truth into being. I'm not the foundation. I'm not the moral law and authority of the universe. But that moral law and authority of the universe sees me, and he loves me. And he comes tonight to remind me that I belong to him. And ultimately, I am seen and loved by his Father. The Eucharistic revival is meant to revive our own minds, reminding us that we are seen and loved, and reminding us that we are not God. The revival of the mind is meant to lead the children of God and the church into an embrace of humility. Because you see, God's love can't be earned or achieved. It can only be received. There is nothing you and I can do to talk God into loving us more. There is nothing that we can do to get God to think better of us. He loves us so much, he entrusts us with his heart tonight. The revival of minds leads to humility. But Jesus wants not just to revive our minds. He gives us the gift of the Eucharist, and he calls us to Eucharistic revival so that we can also allow him to revive our hearts. In the gospel tonight, Jesus told us that the Father has put everything into his power. Everything. This is the Father who spoke the universe into being. This is the Father who struck down the gods of Egypt. This is the Father who has liberated his people again and again and again throughout the story of Israel. This Father has placed the totality of his power in the heart of his Son. And the heart of the Son has been given to you into I tonight? Do I live in the narrative that my life needs to be seen and noticed and praised and liked and accepted? Or do I acknowledge the truth that I am seen, I am loved? And tonight, what is given to the church is the means by which I can become a saint, another Christ. Everything that I need on the journey to heaven has been given to me tonight in the great gift of the Eucharist. The totality of the Father's power is found in the heart of his Son. And the Son gives us all of that in giving us his heart tonight. The image that you might think of is the image of the genie from the movie Aladdin. You might hear this and think, what is Father Luke talking about? In the Disney movie Aladdin that came out in the early 1990s, the genie describes himself as having the phenomenal cosmic power of the universe contained in an itty-bitty living space. Brothers and sisters, do you acknowledge what you hold when you hold the Eucharist in your hand? The story behind every saint, the power that struck down the gods of Egypt, the power that created the universe, the power that has freed, that has healed, that has sanctified, and that has redeemed. The totality of that power is contained in that little gift that you receive tonight. Do I know this, and have I allowed this power to revive my heart? Does this power call the shots in how I love, in what I love, in who I love? Do I live in the confidence that this power gives me everything that I need to become a saint? Or do I live in the narrative that heaven is something that I can earn? Heaven is something that I can achieve. Heaven can't be earned. It can't be achieved. It can only be received. And the power to become holy is what is given to the church tonight in the sacred gift of the Eucharist. Jesus desires to revive the mind of his church. Jesus desires to revive the heart of his church. When we know the gift of the Eucharist, we live not just in humility, we live in unshakable confidence that everything that I need to accomplish the mission that has been given to me is not found in the world. It is found in the tabernacle and in the church. Do I live in self-reliance, fear, and anxiety, or do I live in the humble confidence of the children of God, knowing and living in the unshakable truth that I am seen and loved, and that everything that I need to become a saint, I hold when I receive Holy Communion every day of my life? The power of the Father is given to the Son, and the power of that same Father and Son is given to the church this night. The Eucharist is meant to revive minds. The Eucharist is meant to revive hearts. And ultimately, the Eucharist is meant to revive worship. The first and greatest responsibility of a human being is to acknowledge that they are not God. And when I acknowledge that I am not God, I'm not the cause of my own being, I didn't speak myself into existence, then the highest expression of my intellect in humility acknowledges that there must be a higher being, there must be a first cause that has caused me and all other things. The highest and greatest expression of my rational faculty is when I arrive at the conclusion, I am not God. And then the mission of my life becomes the honest search for the foundation of the world, the one who spoke creation into being, the one who molds the very fiber of the universe and loves it in existence. Brothers and sisters, the first and greatest responsibility of the human race is to search for God. And this acknowledges that we are not God. This also acknowledges that he is there and he desires relationship with us. What the gift that Jesus has given to the church tonight does is it makes worship of the only true God possible, not just in thought, but as Jesus tells us, in spirit and in truth. Beginning tonight, on through the ages, through the gift of the Eucharist and the gift of the priesthood, we are able to offer to God the Father the most perfect and beautiful thing that we are capable of offering to him. And the most perfect and beautiful thing that we're capable of offering to our Father is not Patrick Mahomes. The most perfect and beautiful thing that we're capable of offering to the Father is not our stuff or our accomplishments. The most perfect and beautiful gift that the human race is able to offer to the Father is the heart of his Son. And when the Son gazes upon the Father and the Father gazes upon the Son, heaven is opened and everything that is attached to the heart of the Son is ushered in to the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, the gift that the church has been entrusted with tonight is the gift to be able to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And this is the first and greatest responsibility of the human race. At the time of Passover, when Jesus celebrated the Passover meal, it's estimated that there are 300,000 lambs that were sacrificed year after year during the celebration of Passover. But this begs the question, how many lambs must be slaughtered in order for the infinite offense of sin to be atoned? And God the Father's answer is only one. And so he has sent that lamb into the world to take upon the offenses of his people and to offer atonement to the Father. How powerful is the offering of the Father that takes place in the Mass? We'll explain it to you this way. God is pretty offended about all of the atrocities that he has seen committed throughout human history. God the Father is not pleased when he sees the shenanigans of the human race again and again and again and again throughout the story of creation. Do you know how to console the heart of God the Father? Come to Mass. Because one celebration of the Mass brings the Father infinite more joy, infinite more pleasure, delight, and happiness than all of human sin throughout all of human history. That's the power of what we offer to God the Father every time we come to Mass. The most beautiful way that I can console God the Father and make atonement for the sins of my life and the sins of the entire human race is not by praying rosaries. It's by coming to Mass and offering to him the perfect sacrificial lamb that atones for the entirety of sin throughout the entirety of human history. Yes, the gift that has been given to the church tonight is so powerful that it is possible for it to turn us into saints. The gift of Jesus and the gift of the Eucharist, the gift of the Holy Priesthood, is so ineffable and powerful and efficacious that it has the power to bring the human race back to Eden, which is where this all started. When we consume and worship the flesh and the blood of Jesus, we again are invited to eat from the fruit of the tree of life. And so, brothers and sisters, do you acknowledge the incredible gift that has been given to you and to me tonight? Is my disposition as I leave going to be one of self-reliance, of overconfidence in myself, my achievements, what I've earned? Or am I going to resolve to allow Jesus to remind me again and again and again? I am not an orphan. I am a son and a daughter. My life is not about earning and achieving and accomplishing. My life is about receiving the power of the Father and the victory that is given to the human race tonight in his divine Son. All of hell trembles at the sight of what is given to the human race tonight, because ultimately, evil dies in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The totality of sin, the totality of death is utterly and definitively destroyed by what the church is given tonight. Do I know this? Has it revived my mind and my heart? Last thought for us, 2024 is a presidential election year. And we have already heard that the soul of America is at stake. Regardless of whether or not we're listening to Fox News or CNN, the soul of America is at stake this year. But brothers and sisters, we must never forget that the soul of America is incapable of being won at a ballot box. The soul of America is won only at altars. The soul of every nation, the soul of every people, the soul of every society and every person is won by the gift that has been given to the church tonight. Do I think in communion with this gift? Do I love in communion with this gift? And do I worship in communion with this gift? The Eucharist is the means by which all of creation returns to Eden. You and I are invited, if we listen to him and follow him.